every single cent that you give to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to aid and support missionaries just like the Grahams, our International Mission Board missionaries in the hard places like Kuwait. And God bless you, and thank you, and praise the Lord for your faithful, generous giving. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. We need to finish Luke 1 this morning so that we are ready for Luke chapter 2 and the Christmas story next Sunday morning. While you're finding Luke chapter 1 verse 67, how about that celebration choir? Unbelievable. How about kids' praise? Sitting there singing. Tremendous, tremendous job. And lest we not forget those individuals in the audio video booth this morning. Amen. Brother Chris, God bless you. Choir, kids' praise, faithful volunteers, God bless and thank you. We all need a sunrise. Now, I'm not talking about the one that'll happen tomorrow morning at 6:30 or so, although those are good. But there's another sunrise that I want to talk to you about for just a moment this morning here at the end of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 includes two songs. One sung by Mary and one sung by Zacharias. Just a reminder, Jesus Christ's earthly parents were Joseph and Mary. And so Mary, a mother-to-be, singing a song called Mary's Song, the Magnificat, here in Luke chapter 1 about Jesus the Messiah. And then the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And today, we're going to hear and read and see Zacharias' song, yes, about his son-to-be, John the Baptist, or John the Messenger, but also about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Look here in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67. Now his father Zacharias, John the Baptist's father Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Now I want to remind you about something related to this particular family. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll look back at Luke chapter 1, verse 41, we'll see that Elizabeth, his wife, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And their son to be born, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, John the Baptist, or John the Messenger, will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me take just a moment to remind you, brothers and sisters, about some of our convictions and our beliefs related to the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament and up until Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God to empower them in specific and particular moments. And when that moment was finished, the Holy Spirit left them. Not as punishment, not because they had done something wrong or something bad. That was just the way that the Holy Spirit worked in the lives of the people of God until Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit to permanently indwell every single follower of Christ for eternity. And so if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then I believe that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit caused you to be born again, and from that moment forward indwelt you and is indwelling you until and through eternity. Now, that is different than the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that is necessary every day and sometimes multiple times throughout the day. You see, in my garage at my house, I have about 6 or 7 basketballs on a ball rack. Why do you need so many? Great question. Did you know that every single one of those basketballs, without exception, as we speak right now, is flat? Every one of them. Why are they flat, Brother Richard? Because they have sat in a cold garage over a course of years, have become cracked, and they have leaked. Brothers and sisters, in a similar way, you and I, when we get older and cold, like old basketballs, we develop cracks and we tend to leak the Holy Spirit. And so every single day, and sometimes multiple times throughout the day, we need to be filled, or we need to be aired up or pumped up. We need to have the air restored to the ball. We need to have the Spirit filling the believer. Well, how does that happen? Through the reading, the meditation, and the application of God's Word in your life. And so, throughout the day, most especially at the beginning of the day, but maybe multiple times throughout the day, brothers and sisters, we are in need of the filling of the Spirit. Notice also here in verse 67 that Zacharias prophesied. Now, most of the time when we hear the word prophecy, we understand that that means telling the future. Looking into the future and telling what is going to happen. But Zacharias does something very interesting here in verses 68 and 69. Look what he says. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Zacharias, in prophesying and telling the future, you know what he does? He talks about the past. Well, that's very unique. That's very interesting that Zacharias talks about the past to tell the future. Because he was so confident in what had happened in the past and how God had worked, he had complete confidence in telling the future. And here in these first several verses of this song, we are reminded that Jesus Christ the Messiah is the fulfillment of prophecy. He has gratified or satisfied Old Testament prophecy. You see there at the end of verse 69. He fulfilled an oath made to David. And he fulfilled that oath by coming in the line and in the lineage of David. You see at the end of verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of an oath or a promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. When God said to Abraham, because you have not withheld your son, your only son Isaac from me, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless all of your descendants. And then Jesus Christ, being the only son of the Father, was willing to go to the cross on your behalf and on my behalf, fulfilling this oath and this covenant with Abraham. And so again, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, verse 68, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Jesus Christ was the gratification, the satisfaction, the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies. But Zacharias not only spoke about Jesus the Messiah, he also spoke very briefly about John the Messenger. Look at verse 76. And you, child, Zacharias, talking about his son to come, John the Baptist. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. Now, brothers and sisters, don't read over this lightly. Don't quickly scan over this and miss the significance of John the Baptist. The nation of Israel had not had a speaking prophet since Malachi. 400 plus years. From their perspective, God had gone silent. And yet, Zacharias, speaking about, prophesying about his son to come, John the Baptist, John the Messenger. And what was the job or the occupation of John the Baptist, John the Messenger? Simply put, to point others to Christ. That was his job. That was his responsibility. And some 2,000 years later, brothers and sisters, do you know that if you were a follower of Christ this morning, that is your job too? That's your job too. That's your occupation. That's your responsibility. That's my job, my responsibility. Not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a follower of Christ. So when you go to the office, what's your job? To point people to Christ. When you go to class, what's your job? To point others to Christ. When you go to Brookshire's, when you go to El Manna, when you go wherever, to whomever God has brought into your path that day, what is your job? Like John the Baptist, John the Messenger, the son to come of Zacharias, to point others to Christ. Zacharias' song ends with an invitation. An invitation for me and an invitation for you. The end of verse 76, talking again about John the Baptist. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. And then, to some degree, he even defines or explains what is salvation. By the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Simply put, the gospel is this. God is holy, 100%, without exception. And man and woman and children, humans, we are not. And multiple times throughout our lives, again and again and again, we were born in sin and we have sinned against God. Somebody asked this morning in my Sunday school small group, maybe in yours as well, what is sin? A number of years ago, we talked to our children in Good News Club. Sin is anything that we think, say, or do that breaks God's law or makes him sad. Have you ever sinned? You see, our sin separates us from God. And we are in need of a Savior. We are in need of forgiveness of sins. We're in need of the remission of our sins. Jesus spoke more about this in Matthew 26. Peter spoke about it in Acts 10. And John spoke about it in 1 John 1:9. But notice how Zechariah describes it. There in verse 79, he describes it as darkness. Have you ever sat in a room that is total darkness? Now, I'm not talking about a nightlight. I'm not talking about a block plugged into a wall and you can see whether it has electricity. I'm not talking about light coming underneath the door. I'm talking about being in total darkness. And you can't see the face in front of your, the hand in front of your face. I mean, that's darkness. In my previous church, kind of a funny story. I didn't have a Charles Dickerson. And so I was responsible for turning out the lights. And a large facility. But I had done it so many times. I almost served that church 9.5 years. I had walked in the dark countless times. I knew where the light switches were. But yet one Wednesday night, I was walking through the Family Life Center. And I mean, I was on a mission full stride. And then out of nowhere, there was this cinder block wall. And I mean, the wall was there. Brother Richard hit it, boom, and down he went. I mean, my nose was gushing blood. And for 3 weeks after, my face, my cheeks, blue and brown and purple. And I had to explain every single Sunday, no, Christy had not done this. But I mean, I was walking in the darkness. I could not see what was in front of me. And it ended in pain and injury. You see, if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you're living in the dark. And you might think that you know where things are, like I thought I knew where a doorway was. Because we have walked in the darkness for a number of years. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I've got a sunrise for you. You see, there in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring. Now notice the uniqueness of the New King James verses, capitalizes that word day spring. Literally, it's the word dawn, D-A-W-N. Your translation may say sunrise. I believe the New American Standard Bible says that. But it is a reference to the coming Messiah. It is a reference to the Son of God, the Son of Man. It is a reference to Jesus Christ, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, and here's why, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. You see, the invitation this morning for you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting in the darkness this morning because you are lost and you do not have a saving relationship with Christ, today I want to invite you to experience the sunrise. Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life for the very first time. The end of the song goes like this: to guide our feet into the way of Zacharias says that the only way that you will be at peace, and the peace that he's referencing here, the only way that you'll be at peace with God is to accept the Prince of Peace as your Savior. Here's how Paul said it in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace this morning? Have you experienced the sunrise whose name is Jesus? You see, the fact of the matter is that we all need a sunrise. Now, many of you in the room this morning, you've experienced that sunrise, and praise the Lord. But if you haven't today, I would invite you to admit that you're a sinner. Today, I would invite you to believe that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross in your place and for your sin. And that today, if you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, just like Alfonso did several weeks ago in my office, today you can be saved. In just a moment after I finish praying, I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie's going to be here at the front. We're going to be singing one of our traditional invitation songs. And if today you would trust Jesus Christ for the very first time, I want to invite you to step out of one of these aisles, make your way here to the front. We'd love to pray with you, welcome you, celebrate with you, counsel with you. We would love to welcome you to the family of God. Maybe you're here today, you're a guest. You've been visiting Emory Baptist Church for a number of weeks. And today, God's Spirit, that Holy Spirit living within you, that indwells you and wants to fill you, is leading you today to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you this morning. And our invitation will be for you. The end of Luke chapter 1. So the child grew, that's John the Baptist, and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful that you have provided for us a sunrise. Thank you that I experienced that sunrise in my life as a 10-year-old boy. Father, I pray today, as you have convicted of lostness and are drawing men and women and boys and girls unto you, I pray that today you would give faith to believe and boldness and courage to confess you before men, to those today, Lord, that you are calling unto salvation. I pray, Father, you give boldness and courage to those guests who need to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church. Lord, we love you. We're grateful and thankful for your love for us demonstrated in you sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And it's in his name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, Brother Chris comes to lead us. You come today on the very first stanza. We all need a sunrise.